year 2005, Wycliffe released a new translation, the Gulla New Testament. It was in development for over 25 years. Gulla is a blended language that is now called a Creole language. It was spoken for hundreds of years by African Americans who settled on the southeastern part of the United States, a ways north of here. Because it has so much rootedness in English, you'll be able to understand it fairly well. This is the story of the 10 lepers, as it is written in the book that breathes life, from Luke's Gospel in the New Testament. Pony way to Jerusalem. Jesus gone long through to Erie between Samaria and Galilee. When Jesus get close to one settlement, he meet 10 men who have been sick in their skin with leprosy. The men be to stand far away. They holler, say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon we." Jesus shim and tell him, say, "Una go to the priest them, let them examine una." And whilst the man been gwine for see the priest, they all been healed. They all clean and they ain't been sick no more. When one of them see that he done been healed, he come back to Jesus. He hollered to praise God. He fall down on the ground in front of Jesus' foot. And he thank him. And that man been from Samaria. Jesus say, "I done make 10 men clean, ain't he? Where are the 9 them? How come ain't nobody turn back for thank God, except this one man, what ain't one of we Jew people? How come the other man? Them ain't come back." Jesus tell him, say, "Get up and go home, because you believe in me, you done get healed." The word of the Lord.
One out of 10. Give ourselves a little context. We began talking in our first chapel about how to begin to live a more Eucharistic life. How do we live Eucharistic lives? And our on-ramp, of course, were the four narratives from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Paul in his first letter to the Corinthians about the table. And when Jesus gave us this one way to remember him that we call Eucharist, in every one of those narratives, we have the common denominator of him giving thanks. He gives thanks before and during the giving of those instructions. And so to begin living lives that are more Eucharistic, we have to begin from a place of gratitude. We have to begin from a place of thanksgiving. We quoted from Meister Eckhart, and I love this quote: "If the only prayer you said in your whole life was thank you, that would suffice." If that was the only prayer you ever prayed, you'd have a pretty decent prayer life. But someone else observed that silent gratitude just isn't much use to anyone. Gratitude, to be effective, has to be expressed. And as we look at the gratitude that is expressed in those instructions about Eucharist and what we heard yesterday in Deuteronomy and how to give thanks, the instructions in Deuteronomy 26 about how you do it, what the actions are, what you do, what you say, it's very specific. You're giving thanks. We're giving thanks for very specific things in very specific ways. And we got to believe this one Samaritan leper that was healed, when he came back to give thanks, it was not generic gratitude. He knew what he was giving thanks for, and he gave voice to it. He articulated it. But for a couple minutes, let's think more about Jesus rather than the 9 that didn't return to give thanks. Let's think a little bit more about Jesus for a couple minutes than the one who did return to give thanks. Remember another story about 99 sheep that were in the pen and one that was astray. You know, Jesus was concerned about the 99 that he had in the pen, and he's concerned about the one that came back and gave thanks. But Jesus is always concerned about the stray, about the lost, about the one that's out there wandering around, no sense of gratitude, no sense of story. I'm one that was born with what my wife Janet calls directional dyslexia. I pretty much have to really, really work at it and concentrate to get from one place to another. Having traveled much of my adult professional life, traveling all around the country and sometimes in various countries of the world, I can't tell you how many hours I've spent in my life lost. I've missed flights because I was lost and couldn't find my way to the airport. I've had to call and beg for forgiveness for being very, very late for meetings. I've spent a lot of time lost, and I really appreciate the fact that Jesus cares about the lost, about the wanderer, about the stray. Now, what if you're not feeling grateful? You know, we Americans are so driven by our feelings, how we feel. What if you're not feeling grateful? How do you give thanks? I remember a scene from that wonderful film in the 80s called The Verdict with Paul Newman. And he's talking about faith, and he's a man whose faith has really been, has kind of fallen apart. He's an alcoholic, his life has come to pieces. But there's a line in it that says this. He said, "I've been taught that if I act as if I had faith, faith will be given to me. If I act as if I had faith, faith will be given to me." I got some really valuable counsel from the first mentor. It was a Youth for Christ director, first mentor I had in my life after my dad passed away in my early teen years. His name was Roy. I've quoted Roy on these microphones ever since 1999. And as I was planning to get married, about to get married, I was 20 years old, 1969. And like most of us, if we'll be honest about it, we do have some mixed emotions about tying the knot forever and ever, amen. And I began to get sort of cold feet. I loved Janet with my whole heart, but I realized I was about to seal a deal that was not going to be easily discarded. And so I went over to Roy and I asked him, I said, "You know, I've seen you and Marianne, you seem joyful, you seem happy. Are you happy? Do you always," I said, "it's been a few years since you got married. Do you still feel for her like you did when you got married?" And he said, "Well," he said, "I don't know if being happy is the right question." And he said, "Feelings ebb and flow." But he said, "If you read 1 Corinthians 13, the best resource we have about love, it doesn't talk about feelings at all. It talks about actions." And he told me this when I was 20 years old, 42 years ago. He said, "If you will do what 1 Corinthians 13 says to do towards Janet, if you'll behave that way towards her, anytime the feelings have ebbed away and begun to evaporate, you'll find if you behave that way, the feelings will come back stronger than ever before." And I've lived to prove that true time after time after time. And so if we're not feeling grateful, if we're not feeling the gratitude welling up within us, it's time to give thanks. And we've been given instructions how to do it in Deuteronomy 26. We offer something out of our increase. We rehearse our story, including the sad parts, the Egyptian bondage, the part in Jesus' story in Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? My bones are all out of joint. I'm stripped naked in front of my family and friends. They're gambling for my clothes. I can't breathe. My tongue is clinging to the roof of my mouth. All that, the sad parts of the story are part of getting to the joy of resurrection, of getting to the doxology at the end of Psalm 22. Epiphany is such a strange feast to me because it calls to mind the fact that it's not the ones who know the most about God that seem to respond the most appropriately or the most quickly. Think of the story that we've just revisited the last few weeks. Shepherds, uneducated, probably uncouth, tenders of sheep. Pagan philosophers were the first ones to respond with joy and with gratitude. We've seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. Remember the Canaanite woman. She responded more wisely than so many of the ones who had the truth, had the full revelation. And this morning, the Samaritan leper. The one who was the most unclean of all. I really love the old Billie Holiday classic, God Bless the Child. And on first blush, that lyric could sound like it's about money. God bless the child that's got his own. And there's a layer, the veneer, the presenting theme of it is about money. But a few years ago, I did a research project on Billie Holiday and read lots that she had written and lots that was written about her. And Billie Holiday, although she had a wreck of a life, had a real knowledge of the Lord. She was a woman of faith, although she didn't always show that in the way she lived out her broken life. Mama may have, and Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own. From reading things that she had written and things people who were close to her had written about her, I began to think of the parable of the talents. Blessed is the one who has, to them will be given more. Mama may have, and Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own faith. And God bless the child that's got his own gratitude. And if you're not feeling it, just do what the scripture says. Give voice to that gratitude. Gather at the table. Give thanks for the greatest story ever told and the fact that our lives are being swept up into that story. Act as if you have gratitude. I believe gratitude will be given to us.